Scripture reading this morning, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Text for the sermon is the beginning of verse 2 of this chapter. This is the word of God. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due times, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So far we read God's holy and inspired word. We consider this morning the beginning of verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you think about the work that the elders who are installed this morning will perform, what types of things come to your mind? Attend a council and consistory meeting monthly? Conduct house visitation once a year? When there are impenitent sinners in the church, exercise Christian discipline? If those are the types of things that come to your mind, you are altogether correct, of course. Those things that I just mentioned are incredibly important and necessary work that the elders in this congregation do. But if that is all that comes to your mind, you are mistaken. When you think about the work that the elders are called to do in this church that God has placed them over, what needs to come to mind is the language of the text that we have before us this morning. This is the work of elders according to 1 Peter 5, verse 2. They have the calling from God in their oversight of the church to feed the flock of God. And more literally, what the Word of God says there is they are to shepherd the flock. Their calling is to care for the flock over which God has placed them in all of their needs. Yes, it includes those things that I mentioned earlier, but the truth of the Word of God is that shepherding is a broad word that concerns the care of us as a congregation. And so the word this morning, of course, is directed to the elders, the men that were installed this morning, but also the men that continue to serve in the office. This is the word that they must hear, and this is the word that they must strive to be faithful to in feeding us as a congregation. But this is also a word to us as a congregation. This is the way that we must view these elders who were installed this morning and who continue in their offices. We need to view them as the men who are over us, who have the responsibility from God to shepherd us in all of our needs. And this is also a word to myself as the minister of this congregation, that this is the way that I must see these men. And with them, as the elders of the church, as an elder myself in the church, together we shepherd the congregation that God has placed us in. The word of God this morning is, elders, feed the flock. And we notice in the first place the meaning of that. In the second place, we consider the reason. And then in the third place, we look at the blessing of elders feeding the flock. In the text, the Apostle Peter is addressing the specific office of elder in the church. This is one of the particular offices that God has given to the New Testament church, in which He calls men to serve and qualifies them to do the work in that office. That's evident from the beginning of the text in chapter 5 when He says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder." In the New Testament scriptures, there are two words for the office of elder in the church, and both of them are found in the beginning of 1 Peter chapter 5. There is the word elder, as we read it at the beginning of verse 1. That's a word that literally refers to being advanced in age. It's the more general word referring to this office in the church. One who is advanced is in age, is in a position of leadership over others. And those who are advanced in age normally have the respect of those in the church. It's referring to the office from that point of view, those who are in positions of leadership and therefore must be respected by those in the congregation. The second word used for elder is often translated as overseer in the scriptures. And that doesn't come through in its noun form in this passage, but it comes through in 1 Peter 5 in its verb form when it says in verse 2, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." This is the work that elders do. They must oversee, look over the congregation in which they serve. And they, therefore, as elders, have rule over the congregation. And in looking over the congregation, what they do is care for the needs of the church. In their overseeing of the congregation, the calling that they have is to feed the flock of God. That's the main exhortation of the passage. The main exhortation that Peter gives to elders in the church is feed the flock. And that's our focus this morning in the sermon. What does it mean when the Apostle Peter says to elders in the church, feed the flock? In your oversight of them as elders, feed the flock. More literally, as I said in the introduction, the word used in the text is shepherd or tend the flock. It refers to the comprehensive care that the elders must provide for the church of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to explain right now the description of the church yet. The flock of God, I'm going to explain that more thoroughly in the second point of the sermon. But obviously, when we read there, the flock of God, it's referring to the church that God has instituted in the New Testament. With respect to the church, God says to the elders whom He places in office, this is what you must do, shepherd that church. The question that we immediately face when we look at this command to shepherd the flock is, by what means does that take place? How does an elder, called by God and qualified by God, do this very thing: shepherd the flock over which they have been placed by God. The answer to that question, beloved, is through the bringing, the reading, the explaining, and the applying of the Word of God. In all of our needs as the flock of Jesus Christ, they are cared for fundamentally in this way, through the bringing and the explaining and the applying of the Word of God. That is how elders shepherd the flock of Jesus Christ. I would like to demonstrate that the focus in shepherding is on the Word of God from other passages of Scripture. In the first place, I would like to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. This is the most well-known passage that teaches the inspiration of the Scriptures. But we must not lose sight of the purpose of these verses. We read 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of doctrine and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Notice what it says in the middle there. We have a description of what it means to feed the flock or shepherd the flock in their needs. Profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Those are descriptions, really, of the very act of feeding or shepherding the church. And now notice the purpose. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That really gives us the goal of what shepherding is. The goal is that as a congregation, we may be strong in the Lord, complete, mature, living our lives to this end, a life of good works, not to earn our salvation, but out of thanks and praise of God. And now here's the question. What is used to do those things and to accomplish that goal? And the answer, obviously, is the beginning of verse 16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is through the bringing, explaining, and applying of Scripture that one is taught, corrected, reproved, instructed in righteousness to the end that they are strong, truly furnished unto all good works. Shepherding is the bringing and explaining of the inspired Word of God. Another passage that we can look at is John 17, verse 7. John 17, verse 7. 17, verse 17, rather. Where we read this in Jesus' prayer. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Again, a description of the goal of shepherding. When a flock is cared for, they are led on a path of sanctification. Really, all of the work that elders do and a minister does in the bringing of God's word is to that end, to keep those from walking on the ways of error, away from God, but to walk in a sanctified way, close to God, separated from evil and from sin. And now how does Jesus pray that will take place? Sanctify them through truth. And the truth is the Word. When the Word is explained and applied, people of God are sanctified. They are cared for in their needs. A third passage is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. After explaining certain truths, he comes to verse 18 and he says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words," referring to the return of Jesus Christ. Comfort. Comfort is an integral part of shepherding a flock. A flock in their need at times must be comforted. And when they are comforted, how are they comforted? It's not by turning to anything in this world, but as the text says, comfort one another with these words. Bring this word, and God uses it to comfort the people of God. Obviously, the words in 1 Thessalonians 4, but more generally, the Word of God as we have it in the Scriptures. Shepherding and feeding the flock is the work of bringing, explaining, and applying the Word of God. And the reason for that, beloved, is that the Word of God is a power. It is the most powerful thing in this world. The Word of God is a power, like none else, to care for us in all of our needs as a congregation. And every office bearer must be convicted of that truth, that what the Church of Jesus Christ needs, and whatever their need, whether it is on the bed of suffering, whether it is in response to the loss of a loved one, whether it is in the walking in the ways of sin, whether it is in being attacked by the enemy, what they need is the Word of God. And every office bearer must be convicted of that truth and say with the Apostle Paul in Romans 1, verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And it is out of that conviction that they do their work in bringing the Word of God, trusting that through that Word, God will work powerfully in the hearts of the people of the church. You have to ask the question, how does Christ shepherd the flock of Jesus Christ? Because in the end, that's the one who is doing this. In the end, it is the Good Shepherd Himself referred to in verse 4 in 1 Peter 5 that cares for us in our needs. How does Christ in heaven right now continue to shepherd the flock that He laid His life down for? And it is exactly this. He does it through the Word that is brought to His people, through which His Spirit that He sent into the church works. The elders, the deacons, and myself as a minister need to be convicted of the truth that in our needs, what we need is Christ, as Christ is brought through the Word that is applied. But that's also what we need to be convicted of as a congregation. What we need fundamentally in all of our needs as the people of God is not something of this earth. What we need is Christ. And what we need, therefore, is the Word of Christ. It's not a man even that you need, a particular instrument over another particular instrument. What you need is Jesus Christ. And the way that Jesus Christ tends to our needs in the church is through the powerful Word through which His Spirit works. All shepherding, all feeding takes place through the bringing, explaining, applying of God's Word. And now here's the point. That calling falls to the elders in this church. Elders shepherd in their oversight of our congregation by bringing the Word of God. Maybe the case that when you heard me explain the way that I did what shepherding is and feeding in the bringing of God's Word, that it seemed to be a description of what I do as a minister. But the fact is, the Word of God is clear here. The Word of God says that this is the work of elders, to shepherd the flock through the bringing of the Word of God. And it is for that reason that elders are teachers too. Elders are teachers in this respect, that the work that they do is fundamentally the bringing of the Word of God. We make a distinction, of course, between a ruling elder and a teaching elder in the church, and that's a good distinction. The form that we read makes that distinction. But we must not make an absolute distinction between those two types of elders, as though only the one who is a teaching elder, the minister, teaches the Word of God. There is a distinction between the two. And the distinction is especially this, that the teaching elder is called to preach on the Lord's Day to the Church of Jesus Christ. But it's not an absolute distinction, as though the elders in the church are never called to teach the people of God. And that's true because essentially, the work that elders do is the work of teaching. Because the work of feeding, the work of shepherding, is nothing less than the bringing and the explaining and the applying of the Word of God. They are called and they are qualified to do just that. And that is why in the descriptions of the qualifications for elder, not minister, but elder, one of them, very importantly, is exactly this. 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. And we can follow that with the Word of God in Titus 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Literally there, sound teaching. Be able to exhort and convince the gainsayers in an explanation of the qualifications for elders. Elders are called and equipped by God to be those who bring the Word of God to us as a flock. It's in an attempt to be faithful to this Word of God that the elders at the end of this past year adopted a report in which there are three new standing committees of the consistory. It's an attempt to continue to be faithful to their calling to oversee and feed the church and shepherd the church, that they adopted these three new committees, a committee to oversee and make sure that all those who need instruction are provided for, one that oversees and makes sure that all counseling is provided, and one that oversees and makes sure that all the pastoral needs are met in the church here at Trinity. I want to explain a couple of things in that respect. Number one, when you read that letter a couple of weeks ago as it was put in our mailboxes from the consistory, do not read that in such a way that you make the implication that these things were not being done in the past. That is simply not the case. They were. But this was an attempt on the part of the elders to be all the more faithful, and to put something in place that will ensure that they will continue to be faithful in their oversight of us as a church, in the needs that we have, and in the caring for those needs in our congregation. In the second place, and this follows the first point, it needs to be remembered that our congregation is a good-sized congregation. We obviously are aware of that as a church, as we're dealing right now with people sitting in the basement regularly. We have a good-sized congregation. And with a good-sized congregation, certain things need to be put into place to ensure that everything is done in decency and in good order. And certain things need to be put in place to ensure that all of the cares that we have are met as a congregation. And the elders believe that this was a good way to do that, to make sure that we have committees that every month actively are working on these particular areas, reporting regularly in meetings, all with the goal that as elders they are faithful to this calling to feed us as a church and shepherd us as a church in their oversight of us in our needs as a congregation. And then in the third place, with respect to myself as the minister in the plan for going forward as a congregation, understand that it is not the case that I no longer as a minister will be doing those types of things in this church. I certainly will continue to be working in those areas in this congregation, the areas of instruction, the areas of counseling, the areas of making pastoral visits and bringing the Word of God in that way. The difference, very simply, is this, that it is done more actively in conjunction with and underneath the oversight of the elders. That is the very simple difference. Depending upon the circumstances, the time of the year, to do it very closely in conjunction with and underneath the oversight of the elders is exactly what is going to take place going forward. But understand that it does not mean that I am completely separated from those areas of the work. I'm called to do, as a minister of the gospel, those types of things as an elder in this church of Jesus Christ, to shepherd us in our needs as well. This is a command from God that comes to the elders in the church. Notice that in the text, it's emphasized by what Peter says at the beginning of chapter 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort. And then verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. This is a command, which means that this is something that must be carried out by the elders in this church. It cannot be the case that in one congregation the elders don't shepherd the flock in their needs and in another congregation they do. Peter says here that this is the responsibility of elders. They must feed the flock in their need. And it needs to be received that way by the elders, that this is something they're called to do. And this isn't the only place that this comes through as the command to the elders. The other parallel passage to this word is Acts 20, verse 28. This is the word of God to the Ephesian elders as Paul makes his way back to Jerusalem. He stops and he sees the Ephesian elders one last time. And this is what he wants them to know. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. The fact that this is a command requires that the elders strive diligently to be faithful to this command of Christ. Actively striving to be faithful to this word, to shepherd the flock. And I want publicly to call the elders to work at this. This takes work as an elder in the church to be faithful to being able to shepherd the church in their needs. Yes, it is true, and this is true for all office bearers, that those whom God calls into the office, He also will qualify to do the work in the office, but that does not mean that it is not the responsibility of every office bearer to work hard at developing the gifts God has given them to do the work in their particular office. We are called as office bearers to be good stewards of the gifts God has given us and to work actively at being faithful to our callings. And so men, as elders, work on this. Read the Scriptures diligently. Read good literature that can help you in your ability to shepherd this flock and our needs. Develop the gifts that God has given you to do this work. And that's the calling that comes to me as well. Confidence that God equips whom He calls, but at the same time, striving to be faithful by striving to develop the gifts that God has given us. The reason, as a congregation, we must be shepherded by the elders, in the first place, is that we are a flock. And then in the second place, in the second part of the second point of the sermon, we will see because we are the flock of God. Why does this calling come to the elders in the church? This is what you must do, elders. Peter says, feed the church. Why? You must shepherd the church and you must oversee the church in their needs. Exactly because, as a church, we are a flock. That's an analogy used, obviously, throughout the Scriptures to describe the church. The church is a flock of sheep. And we have the great shepherd over us, the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's who we are. We come together as individual sheep making up a flock. And exactly because we are a flock of sheep, we need to be fed and we need to be cared for by the elders. Consider a few points in this respect. Number one, sheep are needy. That's a fundamental characteristic of sheep. All sheep, by virtue simply of being a sheep, is needy. Spiritually, beloved, as a flock, we are needy. And every single one of us has the exact same need every single day. We have the need for the forgiveness of our sins. We have the need for the Spirit to work in us so that we are assured day by day and week by week that I am loved by God and forgiven of all of my sin and guilt. And that is why feeding the flock and shepherding the flock is something that takes place for all of us every single week. How is the flock fed and cared for on a weekly basis with respect to that greatest need that we have? It is through what is taking place right now, the preaching of the gospel, where every one of us comes here the exact same way. We come here as a sheep who have needs and who have the greatest need of knowing that my sin, which I have committed in this past week, is so great, deserving of death, but yet God is faithful, and God loves me in Christ, and God forgives all of my sins in the blood of Jesus Christ. That is how we are cared for in our greatest need from week to week. But the reality is that in the Church of Jesus Christ, there are times when as individual sheep, we have particular needs. We have needs that require being cared for by others. And when elders are overseeing us as a church, in tune with what is going on in the church, it is their responsibility to care for us in those needs. And my responsibility as an elder in this church as well. There is the need for comfort when you stand at the foot of a casket. There is the need for encouragement when you stand at the foot of a hospital bed. There is the need for encouragement when you go to the apartment for the man or a woman who is alone. There is the need for hope as an aged saint struggling at the end of their pilgrimage. And all of those needs, those particular needs, above and beyond at times what we receive in the preaching of the gospel, the elders are called by God to shepherd the flock in their needs. In the second place, sheep are attacked. That's a characteristic of sheep as well. That because of what they are as sheep, they are very easily attacked by the enemies and the predators that seek to destroy them. And because they are attacked, at times, of course, they need shepherds in order to defend them from the enemies and help them to remain safe as a sheep. And beloved, we as sheep are attacked. And that is why we need to be cared for in the preaching of the gospel, because in the preaching, the enemies are fended off. But at times, again, and this is the point, at times, we are attacked in such a way that we need help. And we need the powerful Word of God brought by others to fend off the enemy, the sin, the temptation that seeks to destroy us. And there are those times for us as individual sheep when we are experiencing a temptation that is so strong, and even one in which we fall regularly. And it may be the case that we are tempted in that way, and we fall regularly, but we hate it. And we recognize that it's wrong, and we want to be delivered from that particular sin and temptation and the bondage underneath that sin and temptation. But we say, we can't do it ourselves. I need help to do that. And that is the experience of particular sheep at time when you fall under that strong temptation and succumbing to that temptation repeatedly of drinking too much alcohol or of taking particular drugs, whether off the street or prescription drugs, or addicted to gambling and you don't have to go to the casino anymore, but you can simply sit behind your computer screen, or that unrelenting temptation of lust and therefore pornography on the internet, or that temptation and falling into that temptation of being overwhelmed by entertainment and pleasure so that you are addicted to movies or television or seeking release in those particular ways. And the list goes on and on. There are times when that temptation is so great, but yet we desire to be delivered from it. And we say, I cannot do this of my own strength. I need the Word of God and I need accountability. The elders are called and qualified by God to shepherd us and to care for us in that particular need. Sheep in the third place are attacked, and at some times they wander. Fundamental characteristic of sheep, they're always wandering. And there's a difference here between the previous point, and the difference here is at times as sheep, we wander in such a way that we are hardened in impenitence. And then the elders go to work as shepherds of the flock, bringing the powerful Word of God in order to bring back that wandering sheep, working tirelessly to bring God's Word repeatedly with the hope that in bringing the Word of God, impenitent sinners will be brought back into the fold. It's the work, the so very important work in the church of Christian discipline. Why do elders shepherd the flock? Number one, because we are a flock. And number two, because it is the flock of God. Notice that in the text, feed the flock of God. And that adds to the reason we are called as elders to shepherd this congregation as a flock. It's God's flock. It's not my flock as the minister of this church. It's not the elders' flock as the elders of this church. This flock, Trinity Protestant Reformed Church, is God's. And consider what it took for us as a flock to be the flock of God. It took what was most precious to God, which was His own only begotten Son. It took sending His only begotten Son to this earth, taking on Himself our human flesh, with our guilt and sin upon His back. And it took the precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary's cross so that this Word of God could be written, that us as a flock, Trinity Protestant Reformed Church, is God's flock, purchased, as Acts 20 verse 28 says, with the blood of God. It took the very blood of God, the only begotten Son, to make us God's. We are God's as a church. We are precious to God. We are the apple of God's eye. We are a people that God is not ashamed to call His people. And beloved, if the church is precious to God, so precious He sent His Son to die for us, that gives every reason for the elders of this congregation to be diligent in the work of shepherding. That which is precious needs to be cared for, protected, defended. And God has put us as elders in a position in this church to protect, to care for, to defend this precious flock of God. Why will we do this work? Why will we sacrifice for 3 years, those of you who are installed today? And it is a sacrifice. Why will we work tirelessly through the frustrations? Because there are those frustrations at times. Why will we give ourselves to doing this work? Because when we think about Trinity Protestant Reformed Church, we need to think this: God's precious flock. And if precious to God, precious to me, and requiring the tender care of the shepherd, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ works through the men whom He calls into office. The great blessing of elders shepherding the church of Jesus Christ, obviously, in the first place, is that through this, the church is cared for in all of her needs. We have needs. We talked about those. When the church is shepherded by the elders in the church is cared for. And it is cared for because what that means is that Jesus Christ is present in that work in the church. The great shepherd referred to in verse 4 is Christ. And Christ, when He was on this earth, said, "I am the good shepherd." When He arose from the dead and ascended into heaven, He didn't stop being the good shepherd of His sheep. He continues to work as the good shepherd of His sheep. He continues to tend to the needs of His flock. And He does that through the office bearers in the church. This is the blessing of elders faithful to this calling. Christ is present in Trinity Protestant Reformed Church when the elders feed us as a congregation. Christ is at work when the Word is brought, and we are comforted, when we are encouraged, when we are assured, when we are corrected, when we are brought back into the fold. And that is the blessing of elders working faithfully in the church of Jesus Christ. When elders are faithful in overseeing us in our needs and tending to our needs, we can say this as a church: Christ is here and Christ is at work. And the great blessing is that through the work of faithful office bearers, elders, deacons, and minister alike, God preserves us as a church so that one day we are brought home to glory. The beginning of 1 Peter speaks of the inheritance that God has promised to us, the inheritance that is incorruptible, that fades not away, that is reserved in heaven for us, all of us. Another theme of 1 Peter are pilgrims, making our way through this life. And the work of the elders and the other office bearers is such that when it is done faithfully, God uses it to preserve His people in such a way that one day they are brought home to glory. And what a blessing that is, that God, through office bearers, shepherds us in our needs, and through that leads us to the day when we will be in heaven, and we will see not the instrument anymore, because that's all these men are, instruments, when we will see the Good Shepherd Himself in glory. May God continue, and may Christ continue to feed us through the men whom He has called to office this morning. Amen.